What happens after the most significant event in human history? I'm Chris Montgomery, senior pastor at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and welcome to Fraser 365. Today we're in a study called Victory, a journey from the cross to Pentecost. Our prayer is that through God's Word, you'll come to a greater knowledge today of what it means to be a disciple of Christ and live in the victory of His resurrection power.
Welcome to day 41 of From the Cross to Pentecost. Today's devotional is titled, Be Ready. Scott McKnight said, Christians should have a constant willingness to speak up for God, to confess one's allegiance to Him, and to witness fearlessly to His saving grace. Our text for today is 1 Peter 3, 13-17. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Some thoughts on today's reading. 1 Peter 3, 13-17 addresses the theme of suffering for doing good and encourages believers to maintain a posture of hope and holiness in the face of potential persecution. Verse 13 poses a rhetorical question. Who will harm Christians if they are eager to do good? The implication is that good behavior generally attracts goodwill rather than harm. Yet in verse 14, Peter acknowledges that even if believers suffer for doing what is right, they are blessed. This blessing comes with the assurance that our suffering aligns us with Christ, who also suffered. Notice how Bruce Barton explains 1 Peter 3, 13-14 as follows. Even though it may not seem like it from a worldly point of view, these believers who suffered for doing what was right, who suffered for righteousness' sake, were blessed, meaning highly privileged, but not necessarily delighted. If the believers were living righteously and continued to be persecuted, no one would be able to harm them spiritually or change God's promises to them. Jesus had said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." See Matthew 5:10. Peter counseled the believers not to be afraid of persecution. Evil people's threats were emptied because they could not harm the eternal souls of God's people. The Greek word for troubled means shaken up or disturbed, and refers to emotional turmoil. Rather than fear their enemies, Christians were to quietly trust in Christ as the Lord of all, believing that He was truly in control of all events. When the Lord ruled their thoughts and emotions, they could not be shaken by anything their enemies might do. God alone is to be feared. When people respect and honor Him, they have nothing else to fear. Peter remembered Jesus' words, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Next, Peter exhorts the believers to be prepared to explain their hope in Christ. This verse emphasizes readiness, combined with a gentle, respectful demeanor when witnessing to others. Wayne Grudem shares these insights on the verse. Peter does not stop with an admonition not to fear. He goes on to encourage preparation for an active witness that will win the unbeliever to Christ. Peter envisages the need to respond to allegations of wrongdoing that Christians face from their opponents. So he says, "Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." The word defense, apologia, almost always has a sense of reply to an accusation. Whether to formal charges or informal accusations, Christians should be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is in them. Peter must be assuming that in the inward hope of Christians results in lives so noticeably different that unbelievers are prompted to ask why they are so distinctive. Christians, therefore, should always be ready to give an answer. Paul provides a good example of seizing the offensive and bearing testimony to Christ even when on trial himself. See Acts 22:1-21 and 24:10-24. In hostile situations, the opportunity for a witness to Christ often comes unexpectedly. The Christian who is not always ready to answer will miss it. Yet such a witness must be given with gentleness and respect, not attempting to overpower the unbeliever with slick salesmanship or with the force of human personality or aggressiveness, but trusting the Holy Spirit to himself quietly persuade the listener. Peter follows his challenge of readiness by advising believers to keep their conscience clear, so that those who speak maliciously about them will be ashamed when they see the good behavior of the believers they are attacking. This highlights the contrast between the believers' righteous actions and the accusations against them. The final verse in our passage stresses that it is better to suffer for doing good, if that is God's will, than for doing evil. This speaks to the sovereignty of God and the higher calling of righteousness, even amid adversity. Peter's words are a bold challenge to witness, even amidst the difficult challenges of life. Some questions on today's reading. Are you ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you? If so, how? If not, what can you do to prepare? Why is it essential to defend your answer with gentleness and respect? Finally, in what ways do struggles and accusations increase our temptation to give our defense with actions that do not represent Christ? Thanks for joining us today.